we're preparing to look into the Word, if you would turn to the book of John, chapter 8. This morning's title of the message is Don't Buy the Lies. Listen as I read verses 42 to 47 out of John chapter 8. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, because I came from God and I am here. For I didn't come on my own, but He sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of liars. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Who among you can convict me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is from God listens to God's words. This is why you don't listen, because you are not from God." Let us pray. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us now. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, we praise your name in Christ's name. Amen. This morning is Father's Day, and the message this morning is a little different than what I've heard as far as Father's Day messages go. Usually it's a look at fathers and how we can honor them and how we can follow them. But this morning I want to do a comparison between the Father of Truth, the God, the Heavenly Father, and the Father of Lies, Satan, who has been working since he was created, since he was kicked out of heaven, to plant seeds into our hearts, seeds of lies, seeds of doubt, seeds that lead us astray, lead us away from knowing the truth. And this morning I want to share with you four lies that we as believers, we buy into. Four lies that cause us not to be in connection with the Father. Four lies that we can read the truth in God's Word, but yet we still believe in the lies. And it keeps us from experiencing His blessings, God's blessings. And I want to talk about the lies, but more importantly, I want to plug into you the truth. See, Jesus, just out of the text I just read, Jesus calls it out. Says, you don't know the truth because you fail to listen to my word. You fail to read the word, read God's word, and make the connection into your life. And we know this is true. When you read the Bible in your daily study of the word, you'll read it, and sometimes you go, I don't know how this applies to my life. But then a month later, what you read comes out. You start to experience things. And so we want to talk about filling our lives with God's truth so that we can counter the lies that Satan has been hard fast at planting into our world. And so this morning, I want to talk about four lies. And the first one of those is this. God wants us to be good people. That's the first lie. On the surface, this sounds okay. And you hear this lie that Satan puts out to us all the time. God wants you to be a good person. You hear this message all the time. I hear people from at my work, at coworkers, and they want to say, I'm a good person. Why do I need this? Why do I need it? Why is this happening to my life? But that's a lie. God wants something different than that. This is what God wants. And the truth is, that's small. Okay. God wants us to be righteous people. He doesn't want us just to be, he wants us to be good, but it's more important that we be righteous people. Listen to Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together, they have become useless. There is no one who does good. There is not one. Like I said, on the surface, this lie that we buy into, that we need to be good people, it's good, it sounds real close, and that's how Satan works into our lives. He messes up a lie with it real close to the truth. And that's how we buy into it. It's real close. And so if something is a lie to you, but it's real close to the truth, most of the time we won't even challenge it. Most of the time we won't even say, yeah, well, I don't know about that. And we don't investigate it. We don't go even further to see what God's Word says. But God's Word says that we're to seek to be righteous people, not just good people. And the reason for that is there is no measurement in the Bible how good that you can be. None of us are going to be Jesus. And Jesus, when He came to earth, was a demonstration of the very best of God. It was God Himself, good to the extreme. And we can never measure up to that. So if we can't measure up there, God has got to do something for us in order to get us into that relationship with Him so that we can experience eternity with Him. See, what happens when we believe about good people, that if I'm a good person, then we can, it allows us to be set up to be judgmental of each other. You know, I can be in this room and I can look, and each of us, we all have our pet sins. Each of us has something that we struggle with, something that keeps us from being what God wants us to be. And we can begin to measure, I'm a good person because I do this, 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 and this. And that person is not a good person because they do this, this, and this. But in God's eye, how God sees us is that there is no one that does good. There is no one that is worthy to be able to spend eternity with Him. But God doesn't stay there. And this is awesome. God seeks, in order for us to have a relationship with us, to do something to give us His righteousness. And that's what He did on the cross. There are plenty of good people who are not Christ followers. You know this. There are people you work with. They're good. They do good things, but they don't believe in Jesus. They don't follow Christ. And one day, when they stand before the Father, and He goes, what did you do with my son? They will say, but I did this, and I did this. And He said, that's not going to matter. All those good things that you did didn't add up to salvation. Only I could do that for you through what I did through Jesus Christ. Any good that is done in this world comes from a good God who's working in the world. Satan deludes our minds with the idea that we have to be good people. But I know that sometimes good people do bad things. Most of the time, you would think, if you were to take a look at me, most of the time, that's a good person. Yes, he's a good person. But you know what? Sometimes I don't speak to people the way that I ought to. I don't speak to people sometimes in a way that honors God. So I'm letting you know my own sins. So anyways. But each of us, we do this. So God equates our salvation. If God wants us to be good people, then if we mess up, then we can never be what God wants us to be. So there has to be something more. And so we fail so often by buying into the lie that we must be good people. But God is asking us to be righteous people. And this is what righteousness is. Righteousness is being right with God. Seeing it from His point of view. And when we see it from His point of view, He is going to lead you through His Spirit to know that if you put your trust in Jesus and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and begin to follow Him, begin to trust Him, this is what God does. God is righteous. He is the only one righteous. Jesus is the only one righteous. And we've got to be clothed with Him. He was the only one that God would look down and say, you did it the way that I wanted you to. And because you believe in Jesus, because you put your trust in Him, this is what God does. God takes the righteousness, His righteousness, and He covers you. So that you and Him can be on, see everything in the right sense. See eye to eye. See, a righteous God, a holy God, desires for people that can never attain it, us. He desires for us to one day spend eternity with Him. And so He has to work, and He's already done the work, for us to attain His righteousness. So if we seek to live our lives to honor God, we receive His righteousness, and we beg on Him, plead on Him, to work that righteousness through us, to cleanse us, to make us more like His Son, then we'll never be tempted to fall into the lie that I'm a good person and judging others based on our goodness, us being good people. That's how Satan works. It sounds real good, but in the end, if we're not righteous in God's eyes, if we don't attain His righteousness, we're no good. And in the end, we pay the consequence of that by spending eternity away from Him. On all four of these, I've given you an application. There's something that you can do this week with everything I share. And so the application for this week, as far as this goes, not buying in a lie that we're to be good people, is before you look at another believer and say that you are a better Christian than the other person, remember how God sees all of us. And remember that every one of us needs God's grace to work in our lives to be what He wants us to be. And what He wants us to be is righteous people. Only through God working in our life can we become that. Not something that we can do ourselves, but God working in us and through us. And so I ask you today, is everything right between you and God? Later on, we're going to have the time of invitation. Is everything between you and God, are you on the same? Are you seeing things on the same page? Are you right with God? God gives us the chance. Boop, I hit it. God gives us a chance every time we get into His house to become right with Him. And that comes from asking God to forgive our sins, that His Spirit would work and give us strength to follow the ways that He would want us. But that's lie number one, and I could stay there forever, and I'm not. So moving on to lie number two that we buy into. We don't have to follow God's commands. That's a lie. We don't have to obey God's commands. And the truth is, when God is working in our lives, we will commit ourselves to being obedient out of our love for Him. When God is working in your life, you're going to want to obey Him. You're going to want to do the things that God wants you to do, the things that please God. You're going to desire it. You're going to hunger for it when God is working in your life. I can never understand why Christians, why we think we don't have to follow God's commands out of His words. And some of those commands go like this. You know that as a believer and a follower of Christ, you don't have a choice as to whether you should share your faith in Christ. You don't have a choice. It's a command. Go out there and tell people about My Son. You don't have a decision. You don't have a choice. It's a command to love one another. It's a command to not judge another brother, another sister, to look down at them, to treat them low. It's a command to come together and to praise Him and to love Him. It's a command. And it's not okay for us to come each week to church and not be changed. It's not okay. Every time we come together as a body of believers, every time we read in God's Word, every time we sing a praise, we should be changed by God's Spirit working in us. I'm not going to be the same person after we're done today. I shouldn't be. Every time we get together, God should be working in my life, just as He should be working in your guys' life. But we buy into the lie that we don't have to obey God's commands. And here's the thing. If you don't obey God's commands, then you will suffer God's consequences. And we never talk about them a lot, about the consequences you'll face. And it looks different in each of our lives. An example of this is if I don't share my faith in Christ with someone, that person may never hear the truth that is in Jesus. They may never hear that they can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. They may never hear that. I hope that never happens. Out of our text this morning, Jesus calls Satan for what he is. He's the father of lies. And there is no truth in him. And he has been banished. He has got a sentence. And one day God is going to put him down. Put him down for the count. And he will not rise up again. And God will be triumphant. And will stand above and say, those who are with me, come to me. Those who are not, go away from me. And we make those choices. But Satan has been working since the beginning. Remember in Genesis chapter 3, serpent comes into the Garden of Eden. And he talks to Eve and he says, tell me what God commanded about that tree. And Eve said, well, God doesn't, said that do not eat of the fruit of that tree, for you will surely die. And what did Satan do? You're not going to die. He started it then. You're not going to die. You're going to come into the knowledge of good and evil. You're going to be like God. You won't die. And unfortunately, we, mankind, we bought into it. And our world has never been the same. And the world has suffered the consequences because we were disobedient. God gave one command. Man, God started off with one command. And we couldn't even do that right. And Satan came and he felt a lie and we bought into it. We bit into it, if you can use the words. And it destroyed the world forever. And God has had to work, and it has worked, into redeeming the world ever since. And it was good. Remember? He created it. It was good. And then we disobeyed. And it got not so good real fast. How many of us, and I would love to see a show, but how many of us, knowing what we know about evil right now, would love to go back to Eve and Adam and say, don't do it? How many of us would go back and say, don't do it? It's not worth it. It's not worth it to eat it. You don't want to know good and evil. You want to know good. And I put in the message, I'm okay with that. I wish I only knew good. But as I watched the TV set every night, we watched the news and there's wars going on. And I have a chance of interacting with people every day. And we don't always treat one another kindly. We don't always glorify God with the way that we talk and the way we speak. Matter of fact, we look to put us number one a lot of times. And so we'll do whatever we can to make sure that we're number one. I wish I didn't know evil like that. And the second question of that too is, how many of you know about pain and suffering? You know, I've probably seen a lot of pain and suffering over the last... It's amazing how you can be a young person and you don't see pain and suffering. And you get older and you begin to see things from a different perspective, different point of view, and you start to see people's lives and pain that can happen. You see people dying from diseases that they can't cure. And you see people that mistreat each other and say, well, I had to do it. You see revenge all over the place because of sin. Because there is evil in this world. I so wish that we didn't have it. And the sidebar to that, that was kind of, ooh, thanks, Josh, I needed that one. To talk about the evils. I know about that. I know what the evils were. I just want to have a sidebar and tell you about this. Revelation chapter 18. It's good stuff, guys. And for those who put their trust in Christ, it's even better. Because Satan will be defeated. Evil will be put down. And God's goodness will shine forever. And if you believe in Him tonight, if you've come into that relationship, you can know and you can have a hope that even if evil is in your life right now, if evil is working around you, God has got good working at the same time. And eventually evil, then the procurer, or the producer of evil, Satan himself, down. He will be defeated. He's a defeated foe. So if you read the whole Bible, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on in there, good, bad, they fight all the way through, boom, at the end, ain't no more evil. It's done. And we can have a victory in that. Please note that if there is a command in God's Word that you have a hard time following, you just can't obey, you just don't think it's, you don't think it's for you. There's some commands sometimes I wrestle with, don't worry. Go out of your comfort zone. Go tell somebody, that person scares me. Oh, go do it. Don't worry, I've got them too. But the thing is, when we disobey God, there's consequences. And we should learn. That's why he left Genesis chapter 3 in His Word. I think it was important for Him to leave for us to remind us that when you don't obey Him, how great the consequences can be. So when we don't act like Christ, we don't live lives that honor Him, how devastating that is in the lives of those that we work with or we know in our families. So the application for that is this. Sometime this week, I want you to pick one command that you struggle with following and commit to being obedient to God this week. practicing following God's command will build in you that obedient heart. God, I cannot love fill in the blank. And then put because. And we'll have that fill in the blank too. But this week, make it your prayer. Make it your command. Make it, take it. Say, Lord, help me to love... Becca, you just happen to be there. Help me to love whoever, fill in the blank, because you have asked me to it. You have commanded me to do it. And I just use that one because I think in all areas, as Christians, we have to work on loving people. It's the one area that we can all fail at. Because there's somebody out there that we just have a hard time and they rub us the wrong way. So if you didn't know any command that you can work on, that's the one this morning. We've gone through two lies, and so there's two more. And the third one is this. God wants us to be happy. Woof. God wants us to be happy. Like I said, with God wants us to be a good person, God wants us to be happy. It's very odd. It sounds good. It sounds wonderful to you. Yeah, God wants me to be happy. I'm excited. I can come to a church where God wants me to be happy. I can plug into people like that. God wants me to be happy. Unfortunately, it's on the side of the lie. God wants me to be happy. That's a lie? Listen to the truth. True happiness occurs automatically when we live our lives to make God happy. Do you see? God wants to make me happy, and God turns it the other way. When you're following Christ, when you're a believer in Christ, God desires that you make Him happy. And out of that happiness that you're living your life to make Him happy, boom, He'll give it to you. You'll be happy. Why? Because you'll be doing what God has always wanted you to do. You'll be putting Him first in the world, first in your life. True happiness occurs, and I have no problem with saying it. It automatically happens when you live your life to please Him. And I want to give the reason why God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy is the lie, is because we think that everything, when we think in our life that everything is going good and we're happy and we're feeling good on the inside, everything good. It doesn't always mean that God is happy with us. An example of that would be that if I'm happy that this has happened, or if sometimes we find happiness by watching other people hurt. I hate to say that, but we do. But see, if we rest on that I want to be happy and not care about making God happy, we can be tricked. Because, and I want to share this a little bit more. When you go to work this week, or you're hanging out with your family, you're hanging out with people that you love, church people, whoever you are. When you're happy, there ain't nothing that you can hold on without. You can't hold on to without sharing that with other people. You had a good vacation. We went to Arizona. It was a good trip. People wanted to ask, "How was it?" "That was good." They don't want to hear about the other little moments. Elena was sick. They want to hear the good, happy part of it. Yeah. Or, you got a new car. "Yeah, this is great, man. This is wonderful. I got a new car. I'm so happy, man. It does this. It's got a button for this. And does this. I can put six CDs into it. Boom, I'm happy about it." And you don't stop sharing that with other people. "Oh, I just saw this person come to know Christ, man. I've been praying for them, and I've been talking to them, and and he finally said yes, and his life is going to change," and you're happy, and you share that with other people. But what happens when bad things happen? When bad things happen, we have a hard time with happiness. "I got a flat tire today. God must hate me. God must, there's a problem. Sometimes you get fired. God must hate me." And when bad things happen to your lives, we lose that happy feeling. Because the feeling will pass. And the honest truth is that there are people that we hang out with, that we talk and we live our lives with, and They're wanting to see. You're a believer. You're following Christ. You're trusting Him for your salvation. You're walking and following Him. Okay. But when something bad happens, are you going to bail on Him? When you're not having a good day, I mean, everything at work is going bad. I mean, machines are breaking. People are, you know, they're gossiping. You just can't be around them. I mean, tough things are happening, breaking down. There are people watching to see believers and how we're going to respond. And we can respond. We can respond by looking to please God, even when bad things are happening to us. Even when we're going through difficult times, we still can please God. Listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. There is nothing better for a man than to eat, drink, and to enjoy his work. I have seen that even this is from God's hand. For who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from God? For to the man who is pleasing in his sight, listen, for the man who seeks to please God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and accumulating. When you're seeking to make God happy in your life, even if you go through bad things, difficult times, if you seek to make Him, the sinner, make Him happy. But even, and this is how, and it's hard, it's difficult, it's hard for me too. God, today was a bad day. I said this, and I did this, and Amy and I said something wrong to her. Boom. Bad day, it's already started. But God, I know that there is forgiveness in You. And I know that even though it is bad right now, I can praise Your name, and somebody, somewhere, that I'm going to get a chance to talk to, they're going to want to hear this message. Because I think the message of Christ working through somebody that doesn't have it all good all the time speaks to a non-believer. Because a non-believer will see the bad things all the time. And while your God's working, ooh. But when they see someone that's following Him, someone that trusts Him, and it's working, and you work it to please Him, even though those things are bad, that preaches. It's a testimony. And so I have an application this week. Look through the Bible this week and see how many men and women of faith find joy in the midst of their sorrow. I could have listed all the people you could look at, but I'm going to let you go to your own special person. Noah, or you got Jonah. Bad things happened to him, but he's, you know, David, Daniel. These guys in the Old Testament, there's guys in the New Testament. Go to Paul. And you look at these guys this week and remember, wow, what did they do? Who did they trust? Where was their joy found? When they were in prison, in a whale, or a big fish, or in a lion's den, or banished from the kingdom, or caught in the sin. And see what they did. And let God testify through His people. The final lie that we buy into is attending church is more important than being the church. When I was beginning to work on the message, and God, you know, you start big and it goes small. That's good, because we don't want to be here all day long. Attending church is more important than being the church has some sub-lies. And some of the sublies are this. God cares more about how I look as a believer than what is happening on the inside of my life. God cares that you look good, you look like a believer, rather than you're becoming a follower. You're drawing closer to Him. God cares more. That's a sublie to this. God cares how many times you come to church, how many times you go to camps, how many times you do mission trips, how many times God cares about that. That's a lie. Another sub-lie of this one is that we don't need Jesus. How can you have church and not have Jesus? How can you worship and not sing praises to Him? Let the songs be about what He has done. Sometimes this lie comes out. Old ways and new ways of doing ministry, they can't operate together. tricky thing is older ways at one time were the new ways. And so it's a cycle of things. Styles of music. You can't have drums and a guitar and a pipe organ. You can't have that. Because one has to be more godly than the other. It's a lie that we buy into. So attending church is more important than being the church. That's the lie. Just coming to church is not enough. Please hear me. I have no problem with telling you this. You just being here, that's just not enough. Because you don't get credit for just sitting in the pew. You get credit for what God is doing in your heart, where your focus is today. Here's the truth. This is what church should be about. Our attention needs to be on Jesus and seeing Him glorified. When I was gone on vacation a couple weeks ago, I read a book by George Barna called Revolution. And in that book, it gave some statistics I want to give to you. Just let you plant that attending church is just not enough. And the statistics were done with 77 million people. That's a lot of people. And these are some of the statistics. And I want you to listen to these and just let it speak to your heart. It spoke to my heart. I'm going to let it speak to your heart. 8 out of 10 believers, people that go to church, they have a professed relationship with Christ. 8 out of 10 people, 80%, don't feel connected with God. Ouch. 80% of people don't feel connected with God. And those are people that go to church. They're going to be in church somewhere in this country, somewhere. 80%. Ouch. 9%. 9% of those that did the study, 9% believe that there are absolute truths. And absolute truths are that there is a God. He has a Son, Jesus. This is God's Word. You can believe everything that is in this Word. It is a command and a love story to you to live your life. That there are consequences for sin. There is sin. There is evil. But God is working to redeem the world. Some absolutes. 9%. Only 9% of 77 million. I didn't do the math on that. So it's a lot of people. 1 out of 10, or 10%, when asked, when you die or when you're done with your life, how do you want to be known? 10% of believers said that I want to be known as having a relationship with Christ. I want to be known as having a relationship with God. I want to be able to reflect His love, reflect that relationship. Ouch. Ouch. Faith. Those asked, faith is to be taught by the church and not in the homes. But it's up to those who are teaching Sunday school and those who, that's it. That's the only training that a person would get about faith in Christ is what happens at church. And the last one I want to share, less than 3 hours per month given to develop your spiritual life. Less than 3 hours. Now, granted, he had statistics. He knows how we're filling our life. And you and I know how we fill our lives with stuff. Whether it is watching TV, whether it is sporting activities, whether it's listening to music, whether it's playing on the internet, whether it's just life. And that's how we say it, just life. This stuff comes up, but only less than 3 hours spent on developing our spiritual lives outside of church, outside of coming maybe Sunday morning, less than 3 hours a month. And so I share those couple of statistics, and you wonder why we don't seem sometimes as strong in our faith as we ought to be. That we can just grab the truth that we believe in and say, this is it, man. We can be strong on this. This is it. Because we fail so often. We fail so often to live out the truth. And let me unwrap this final point just a little further. In my study, in my thinking, this is last week. Am I thinking? I've been to church 25,000 times. And that includes church and camps, mission trip, stuff. Stuff that you do as a Christian. 25,000, that's a lot. Ooh, it's not real close to McDonald's and how many burgers they've showed, but I'm getting there. 25,000. Do you know what I realized after I was thinking that? And you're like, well, I don't really care either. What I learned is God doesn't care. Because God doesn't miss any of His services. God shows up in this church, and Calvary, and Ephraim, and Autumn Ridge, and every church, Lutheran Church, Baptist, Methodist, He shows up. So attending church can't be it, because God has got He's got the precedent. He makes every one of them. He goes to every camp, every retreat, every conference. He makes it. So there has to be more than just attending church. Oh, I want you to come back. I want you to come to church. There's an importance there. But the truth is, we meet together to celebrate what God is doing in our lives. That's what coming to church is about. If the glorification of Jesus is not our focus, then we fail. If Jesus is not the center of what we're doing as a church, then it fails. God wants more than attendance. The truth is, He wants our attention and devotion. I know too many people. I had the benefit of working in a lab at the Mayo Clinic. And so I get to see people that may be church people, maybe not church people. And a lot of times what I hear is the answers are very similar. And it kind of scares me a lot that the Christian and the non-believer or the non-Christian would say very similar things. And that's scary. But what God wants, and so there's people who attend church each week. I don't know how you can come to church and not be changed. I know how it happens because it does occasionally happen to me. When our attention is on me, our attention is on ourselves, and not our attention is on Christ and seeing Him work in our body. I challenge you not to let that happen in your own life. We meet together to celebrate what God is doing in our lives. If God is not working in our lives outside of these walls, then something is wrong. And so I have an application. Share with one person. Share with someone what God is doing in your life. You don't think it makes a difference? Think about that other person. If they never heard that God can work in a person's life, but God is working in your life, even if it's something good, pick something bad. Pick something that you had a bad day, but God still worked through it. Woo, that'll be rich. And think about the door opening up. That next time something bad is happening to that person, are they going to go to the person that can't give them an answer? Why is this happening to me? They may come to you and say, hey, how did you deal with this? How can I deal with this? How can we make it? This being Father's Day, and I'm very young in my fatherhood, I did want to leave Dad with two challenges this morning. They're not on the board, but I want to share these. We're talking about the father of lies being out there working overtime. And so, Dads, I have two challenges for us today. Protect your families from the lies. Dad, you've been given the privilege and the right to protect your families from the lies that make their way into the homes. And God has given us some answers to the lies that are out there. And that's in His Word. Guys, dads, protect our families from the lies. And the last one is this. Teach your children how to forgive. Teach your children how to forgive one another. Because that truth will be something that they can pass on to their children. But not only pass it on to their children, they will take it to schools and they will pass that on to friends. Teach them how to forgive. Because dads, I'm quite aware of my own insecurities and failures. And although I'm young at being a father, I know I've got many more mistakes ahead. But if you teach your children how to forgive at a young age and know that you're not perfect, although they may see you as perfect, you can never do any wrong. One day we're going to fail. Because what it does is it opens the door to teach about God's forgiveness. And you can't teach, dads, you can't teach about forgiveness unless you yourself have experienced it. Experienced true forgiveness, which comes from God. And so if you're here this morning, I want to invite you to think about it. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus today, you can receive the forgiveness that comes through a personal relationship with Him. there is forgiveness there. We've messed up as a world. We've messed up and we need a Redeemer. And that is Jesus Christ. Congregation, if you would rise as I ask the guys to come. The invitation is, if God has spoken to your heart this morning, maybe there's a lie that you've heard this morning. Maybe there's other lies that you've bought into. There's lies that keep you from living for Jesus. There's lies that keep you from enjoying coming together as believers. There's lies that you bought into. Come today, or maybe in your pews, come today, give those lies to God, and God, fill me with your truth today. And the truth is this, if you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, one day you're going to stand before Him and He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son? And if you say, I didn't believe in Him, I didn't trust in Him, you will be the consequence, you will spend eternity away from God. God's given the chance tonight. God is speaking and asking you to come into a relationship with Him today. And I invite you to come. Maybe you're struggling with something, or maybe you want to join our church, to come forward and to come visit with me. I don't know. But I also want to invite you, anybody in the congregation, don't be afraid of the altar. Don't be afraid to come forward and to just give whatever God's got on your heart to Him. Guys, share with us.